Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, 26 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. Anglo Platinum results and updates from Mr. Price and Cashbull, the latter two both showing consumers under pressure. Bene Sager from Debt Busters, their survey on consumer financial stress, which of course ties into Cashbull and Mr. Price. And Morris Rates from Africa Luna, the Fear and Greed Index, finally starting to rise, and interesting, Ethereum outperforming Bitcoin. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb at last. Cyril Ramaphosa throws kitchen sink at load shedding. It was a good bunch of words last night from the president. Very late, but better late than never. Question is, words are great. We need the action. Business Day, Amplats predicts recession is already priced into precious metals. I think they probably right about that. We'll check in with Gary around the results. Morning markets, US was mixed. S&P up 0.1%, NASDAQ down just over 0.5%. Asia mixed, with Sydney up 0.2%, and Tokyo down a handful of points, 0.06%. Commodities mixed, gold 1,742, Brent $107.05 a barrel, platinum 878, palladium $2,012 an ounce, rand 1675. Top 40 opening call, 7 points to the green, so I think we can call that flat. Tencent trading up 0.7% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. Gary, appreciate the time this morning. The Anglo Platinum results, and I mean, lots of talk around how they were, you know, profits down, etc. And certainly they, I mean, absolutely were. Of course, it's comparison to, you know, first half of last year, which was a record year. They managed another special dividend, it was really in many senses production, because basket price was down, but weaker rand helped.
Yeah, it's. I think, like you said, the headline numbers look potentially bad, because you've got this big drop in headline earnings, down 43%. So everyone kind of saying, oh well, this is the end of the commodity run. You can't be buying into platinum miners at this stage. But you know, once you actually dig through the numbers, I mean, there were a couple of almost extraordinary items. I mean, if you look at the flooding at Mogalakwena, yeah. That did take some of the ounces out. I mean, that, you know, is related to climate change, but you know, you wouldn't expect that to almost be an ongoing problem at Mogalakwena. Mm-hmm. So you would expect those to be returned. You had things like load shedding, which obviously impacted it. It wasn't major. It was, I think, it took out about 6,000 ounces from their production. But also, as you said, the announcement from the president last night, opening up the limits on what independent power producers can do. And you get the sense that Amplats now will be able to almost generate their own power and potentially get away from some of that. So I think you need to almost take these results with a pinch of salt. I mean, one, the dividend might be down significantly. It was an 81 rand per share dividend versus 175 rand per share dividend last time around. But that's still an enormous dividend. They're still paying like 80% of their earnings. So, and that also is another encouraging factor for me around the company, because you know, we know that when, you know, prices, when metal prices go up, there's this desire to, instead of paying out all that additional profit that you're getting through the operating leverage to your shareholders, is to go and spend it on big projects. But their capex looks very, very constrained, and it seems like they're managing their assets very, very responsibly. So, you know, with a 32% decline in the share price this year so far, maybe it is priced in. You know, maybe, yeah, that we are going to see it. Certainly, the institutional analyst community does not agree with me. The only bank that has a buy recommendation on Amplats at the moment is Investec. Everyone else either has it on a sell or a hold. So certainly, I think one of the reasons that share prices has come down is that the institutional coverage of these mines, they're concerned. They're saying that this is an extraordinary bump up that we've seen because of COVID and lockdowns in China and Ukraine wars. This has created this kind of commodity price boom that is unsustainable, and the share prices have to come down. I'm just saying that these share prices have come down, and it might be starting to look interesting.
Yeah, and back at sort of late 2020 prices or pre-pandemic, otherwise known prices. And I take your point. I mean, the metals are off their highs of last year, but they're still massively profitable. A quick point, a last question, and I mentioned in the intro there, cash build update, we're no longer DIYing. Mr. Price update, we're no longer out and shopping. Lots of T's and C's in all of those, but short answer, consumer under pressure.
No, there's no question. It definitely consumer under pressure in both sets of results. And you can see it in Mr. Price's, if you look at their volume, their volumes are essentially flat. I mean, they saw, basically an increase of sales at 6.4%, but they saw selling price inflation at 6.3%. So volume's really going nowhere. And I think that's as the consumer just tightens their belt. A very similar picture coming through from Cashbuild. Now, their selling price inflation was 7.2%, which is actually moderated slightly from their previous quarterly update, which was at 8.1%. But there's inflation coming into the system. Prices are going up, and that's going to hamper the ability for South African consumers, which are very indebted, which maybe aren't now renovating their homes because they're locked away during lockdown. And I think it's going to put a little bit of pressure on the likes of Cashbuild, and we're seeing that in the numbers as well.
Yeah, and I think we've all, we had those cracked tiles, those walls that needed painting, etc. They're all done. We don't have any more cracked tiles. Gary Boyson, Rand Swiss, as always, appreciate the early morning insights.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Binay Sager from DebtBusters. Binay, appreciate the early morning. You did your survey report back to, it was just last week, via webcast. Just been chatting with Gary Boyson around some of the trading updates we've seen coming from retailers. The short answer is consumers are under pressure, and your survey suggests that over half of participants were feeling stressed or anxious about running out of money before the end of the month. It is, in a word, tough out there.
Yeah, thanks, Simon, for having me, and thanks to everyone who was up early this morning as well. It is quite tough out there. I mean, I think you participated in the readout, so know it very well. I mean, I think for us, there were a couple of things that were significant. One was that 70% of the people said they were experiencing some sort of financial stress. And out of this, 94% of those said that it's impacting their home life. So I think the financial stress is obviously spilling to the other parts of the life. We just didn't know to what extent. And I think that was one of the primary reasons why we wanted to conduct the survey, to make sure people are aware, like the extent that financial stress spills into other aspects of their life. But also, I think the second significant finding was the fact that women seem to be more stressed or anxious compared to men across all facets of life. Now, we trust women a lot with particularly managing of the money, and I think we made this point before. They are carrying an unbelievable burden. I think it's probably worth talking about that as we go into Women's Month.
And that's a good point. I mean, we look at debt as a financial issue, and it absolutely is. But it's actually a psychological/emotive issue. I want to say almost more, but that's not true. I suppose they're kind of equally weighted, but it does weigh on us emotionally.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, we work with a team of psychologists when we did this survey to also interpret the results, because we wanted to find out what it is. You know, the starting point was, what creates stress? Is it money or is it other things? Mm. And, I think you would see that overwhelmingly money is sort of like the root cause for many people. But also, we wanted to understand how are people responding to this stress that they are feeling. And I think you would recall from the presentation, a significant portion of the consumers spend more than 40% of their take-home pay to repay debt. Mm. And a lot of them are worried that they won't have enough money at the end of the month. And I think, like, simply put, people respond in one of three ways. One is they say, okay, you know, there is a problem. I'm going to fight with this. And unfortunately, I think that's going to be in the minority of the people when it comes to debt issues. Second group is to say, okay, yeah, there is a problem, but I'm going to run away from it. That's the flight group, and that's probably the largest group. You know, kind of what we say, like the ostrich response, bury your head in the sand. And the third group is actually those who would like to do something, but they don't know, so they freeze. That's the freeze group. And that was, for us, also significant. There was about 40% who said they feel stuck, didn't really know what to do. And I think part of what we're trying to do is also bring awareness to people that there are options out there when it comes to dealing with the stress that particularly debt and debt repayments are creating.
Yeah, it was that felt stuck. I mean, I can absolutely, you know, relate to that. You just feel unable to do. And the point is, I mean, we have the process. I mean, you talk around in debt counseling. I mean, one of the things is the phone calls that are coming from the people you owe money to. And debt counseling is a process. I mean, it doesn't get rid of the debt, but it gets rid of the phone calls. And I suppose it unsticks you, for want of a phrase.
Yeah, I think, I mean, of course, we're in a debt counseling business, so it's easy for me to come on your show and punt it, I think. But the main thing is, I think we want to bring, Simon, we want to bring awareness to the fact that, like, the first step for everyone is actually understand what is your debt situation, you know, and how much of your income you are spending on debt repayments. So, I mean, the advice I would give to everyone is just sit down and write down. And there's nothing powerful about putting pen to paper. I mean, of course, we all have laptops and so on, but take a piece of paper, take a pen, and write down in the last 3 months what you've spent towards your debt repayments. Exclude your insurances and so on, but just write down and see what portion of your take-home pay that's making. And I think the simple rule, we also alluded to this, if it's more than 30% of your take-home pay, you must probably get some professional help from someone. If it's less than 30%, you're okay. But if it's, you know, very close to it, then think about what you're spending. And I think a lot of people will unfortunately find that it is more than 30%. And then the question is, what now? What do you do? And I think that's where something like a debt counseling might be useful. It's not for everyone, but I think there are many other options. So I think the first starting point for us is to make sure consumers are aware of how much of their money they're spending on debt repayments.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And it is, it's getting on top of it. It's learning to, it's managing it. It's knowing where you are in that process. And it starts with a piece of paper and a pencil, as you say, and adding it up. And that might be scary, but at least you now know where you sit. And that, in many senses, actually makes it perhaps less scary. Benay Sager from Debt Busters, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Maurice Raitt, GM for Africa at Luno. Maurice, appreciate the early morning time. We've seen crypto broadly as a category moving higher the last week or two. What perhaps most important is that fear and greed index, which had been at extreme fear for a protracted period of time, is also shifting higher, suggesting that folks are starting to say, hang on, maybe there's actually some opportunity here.
Morning, Simon. Yes, absolutely. I think the investor sentiment has picked up slightly. As you mentioned, we are outside the extreme fear territory for more than a week now, so I think that's good. I think overall, the market has looked steady, or Bitcoin especially has looked steady, in a range of around $20,000 to $24,000. And I think it's off the back of equities performing better. Equities have picked up last week. And I think that has been the major catalyst for the run in the crypto market as well.
Yeah, I take the point on that. I mean, certainly we've seen the US equities, our own market as well, less fear sitting there, albeit we're in earnings season in the US. We'll see how that plays out. What struck me in a note, it came out from you and your team last week, is that Ethereum was, and I'm not sure if it still is, was actually outperforming Bitcoin. And this is almost an evolution of the crypto space. If we go back 10 years or so, it was Bitcoin. Of course, it's a whole lot more than just that these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ethereum's up 23% over the last month. It's unfortunately down 8% again over the last 5 days. Mm. So we're seeing a slight dip, and it's dipped below the 1,500 mark again. But I think the major catalyst, I think, has been a bit more clarity around a major or key milestone for the Ethereum community that's coming up in the next couple of months. And that's Ethereum's migration from the proof of network to a proof of stake, and which is basically, in very simple terms, a software upgrade that the Ethereum network is busy undergoing, which will lead to a more energy efficient Ethereum blockchain mm-hmm. network, and it will also lead to more efficient use of the blockchain. So it should result in lower transaction fees as well. So it's a much anticipated milestone for the industry, and I think any bit of clarity there usually is perceived well by the market.
And that proof of work, I mean, that was the traditional way that cryptos were done, and certainly Bitcoin was that. And that was those computers essentially crunching giant math problems and coming to an answer, and that was it. Proof of stake, you mentioned the fact that it's a lot lower in terms of energy consumption, undoubtedly a good thing. Does it also speed up processes? There's been claims, particularly in some of the older networks, that the proof of work has actually been a bit of a slow process.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the main benefit will be a more efficient blockchain, especially mm-hmm. for payments. So it should drive down the cost of payments. It should result in faster payments as well, which, as you mentioned, I think the Bitcoin network can currently process around seven transactions per second. Now, compare that to the Visa network or any of the existing payment systems, which can process up to the thousands of transactions per second. But we've seen changes in the technology. We've seen seen the Lightning network on the Bitcoin side that is promising, and also seeing upgrades to the way in which the blockchains solve problems, which is basically, as you mentioned, for proof of work, which is solving mathematical puzzles to prevent anyone from gaming the system. And so for Bitcoin, that's proof of work. For Ethereum, that's proof of stake. Mm-hmm. And so they, instead of miners competing for to solve those problems, now it'll revolve around ownership. So if you own a large chunk of Ethereum, then you're just saying that you can stake that Ethereum. That'll then be used to basically approve and process the transactions on the Ethereum blockchain. So it's a major upgrade, more efficient way of doing things, and I think it's following the footsteps of some of the other cryptocurrencies as well.
Yep, and that becomes a trust process. And if someone does cheat in the process, well, it's that proof of stake that then gets taken. Morris Raitt, GM for Africa Luna, appreciate the time as always. That's it for today. And that's our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter, chatting with Marius there around the cryptos picking up, and certainly Ethereum doing a bit better than Bitcoin. And that shift from proof of work to proof of stake is a biggie. We're asking you on our poll, which is your preferred? Is it Bitcoin? Is it Ethereum? Is it both? Is it perhaps you want none of them? And our poll yesterday, we were chatting with Dean Dineshan from Glacier by Sunlam around trying to time the current when taking money offshore. And we asked you, are you trying to time the rand or just offshoring as per a schedule? A quarter of you said you're timing it, but poorly. And I think that's many experiences. About a fifth of you say you're actually timing it well. And congrats to you folk. But over half, and I fall in that half, you just have a schedule and you do it on schedule as per schedule, regardless of price. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m., podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nabokle, Nicole, Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're going to be talking power producers.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.